In Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering heart, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering heart, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if sorrow or rain. Hallelujah. My Lord, I know, ruleth over everything, and all of my worries in vain. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed. The overcast sky's glory, Master looks on at my stride. Are you living? I'm living by faith in Jesus up. In Jesus, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Amen. God bless you. How many live by faith here?
Glory.
Sister, can you give me the previous stanza there?
Amen.
The storms, and there was something about storms may arise, and though tempest may blow and the storm cloud arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed. At the overcast skies, the Master looks on it at strife. Amen. Even if the skies go overcast, all dark, the Master is there. Just remember, beyond the clouds, there is a sun. Amen. Have you ever taken a flight when it's raining? And then you go over the rain and you start looking at the rain down. Amen. Soon the storm and the rain will be things of the past. You'll fly over the rain. Amen. Because the Bible says, I've never seen a righteous abandoned. God never ever will forsake you. No matter what. Even though things look like there's no hope, out of any hope, God will come. Amen. And will is a miracle worker. Amen. Amen. You believe that, Sister Priya? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, for your grace, granting us another day to gather this way in your house, O Lord. There's no place we could be happier than being here. Amen. Though it's not attractive, O Lord, though it doesn't look like a place that people could gather and rejoice, Amen. Because this place has been a hair salon, O Lord, where people would come and speak and gossip and do things, but you have made us for us. A place of gathering where the Shekinah glory falls and transform souls, oh Lord. That's why we are happy to be here, to meet with one another, oh Lord, and to enjoy the fellowship of saints, oh Heavenly Father. Bless us as we gather. Take control now of the service. Bless the Sunday school upstairs. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We are going to introduce a topic today. I say introduce, so I don't know when we're going to take the second one. Because as you know, I'll be away for a month. So, but let's just start and see how the Lord will lead. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 16 from verse 29 to 33. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a lighting for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I went back last week to listen to the few sermons that Brother Andrew preached here a few months ago about the awakening of the gods, because it was really, really powerful, those sermons. And as I listened back to those, I just felt that I could just speak about something related to that topic. I got the inspiration to speak about it today. I want to speak about the days of Elijah. Amen. Because on that sermon, I think the pastor spoke, mentioned what was happening in the days of Elijah. And seeing what's going on in this country these days, I can just see a correlation between what's happening and the sermon the pastor preached that time. As you all know, yesterday was, yesterday was Gay Pride, you know. So there was, I even don't try to go in town on such a day, because you don't, just don't want to be grieved by what you see. You know, it was, I know I saw the pictures. I went online to check and see what was happening. They did big boats with rainbow flags and stuff. And so I said, these are really, really seeing what's been going on in this country for the last maybe 10 to 15 years, we can just see that we are really in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, and of course the prophet Elijah. Because the pastor mentioned the revival of the gods and the revival of the just. So there is the revival of evil, but also there is the revival of Elijah. So we are there to, you know, manifest the God of Elijah in these days. Because out of all these things, the last word came to God when they went up for the big showdown on Mount Carmel. That's where God proved that who was God and who was not God, the true God. So I was just going through what happened in Ireland for the last few years, just to see that it just what was really happening in the days of Elijah with the reign of Ahab. Because the Bible says worship of the true God became an offense. It became a crime to worship the true Jehovah In so much that the true worshippers were to go in hiding, were to go, you know, in secret. There was a man there, Obadiah or whatever. He had to hide the 550 prophets of the true God. Why? There was persecution. Saying, invoking the name of the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord became a sin. Speaking openly about God became a sin. So much that people had to go hiding. But the altars of Baal became the norm. They took away, they cast out all reference to the name of God and replaced it by the name of Baal. The churches, the temple of Baal became really, really the norm. People would go on, you know, pride parade, invoking the name of Baal, and that was accepted. But being the servant of the living God, no, that was a sin. That was a crime. That's exactly what is happening in Ireland for the last 10 to 15 years. If you really notice, I went through the different referendums that happened since 2010. You'll just see they are trying to remove the worship of God. They are just trying to make it a sin to speak about God. They are just trying to make Christianity an offense. You know, there's something in preparation now. They are talking about that law about hate speech. I don't know if you follow the news. It's not published yet, but they are preparing it to tackle hate speech. So you don't know what they're going to call hate speech, but they are discussing about it on radio programs every day, because in every morning when I go to work, I turn on the radio to listen to news and current affairs and stuff. So every day the discussions that's going on, most of the issues is just about abolishing reference to God in this country. Everything that comes up is just about, you know, there's a petition about this, petition about that. You know, last week or the week before, in St. Vincent Hospital, South Dublin, they removed all Christian imagery in that hospital. Amen. Yes. And there is a petition even to change the name. They said they shouldn't call it St. Vincent. Why should they call it in St. Vincent in a 21st century island? The names of the hospital, the name of the schools must reflect what Ireland has become. All the schools, primary schools that are called St. Ignatius, St. Paul, St. Peter, there's a petition going on to change those names. They say it doesn't reflect Ireland anymore. Why should they call it St. Martha Hospital? There's a petition regarding changing the name. Why Martha? Martha of Misericordia, something like that. He referred to Virgin Mary. Say no more. There's a petition going on. There's discussions about all the... I don't support the statutes of Virgin Mary all over the countries. I don't believe in that. But that's the root on which this country was built. It was a Catholic, there was a respect for God. That's why you see everywhere you go the statutes of Virgin Mary. And old people still go and kneel down there and with their rosary and say a prayer. But there's an ongoing petition now to remove all those. And St. Vincent Hospital is just a pilot program. They want to remove all reference to religious imagery, Christian imageries in all hospitals. They say, why should they put only the crucifix? If they have to put the crucifix, they should put also Muhammad. They should put also, the Buddhist. And there was an atheist who was also arguing that they should put symbols of atheism in hospitals. Can you just imagine? So referring to the name of the Lord has become a sin in this country. Everything they do is just pointing to replacing God by something else. You know, so we just wanted to go, as I said, it's just an introduction today. They say, all religious images and artifacts have been removed from display at the South Dublin Hospital, St. Vincent, after the ownership of the facility was transferred from the Religious Sisters of Charity to a charitable trust. They said, we are now a more secular society. We are gradually removing the privilege that religion had once of the important place to remove that privilege in the is the one of the important place to remove that privilege is the symbolism in our healthcare system. We should remove all of the traditional privileges that religious bodies, particularly the Catholic Church, have in healthcare provision. So it's a hunt now, and it's going gradually. Slowly, they are looking at everything now. There was a discussion about why the president of Ireland must swear, and in the swearing, in the oath, there's reference to the Almighty God. There's another discussion about that. They say, why should they say the Almighty God? You know, why should they say the Almighty God in the swearing of the president in this country? Can't someone be, you know, as serious without mentioning the name of God? But this is the root on which this country has been built. You know, there's another discussion about the, you know, they call it the Angelus. If you follow the, you listen to RT, the National Broadcast Radio, every 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, there's that ringing of a Catholic church that goes on. You know that. They call it the Angelus. There is a strong discussion now about removing that. So why should they put the Angelus every 12 noon and 6 p.m.? Why? But the other journalist was arguing, he said, it's just 1 minute for the whole 24-hour broadcasting. It just takes 1 minute at 12 noon and 1 minute at 6 p.m. Why is that making you to be upset? Say, no, not everybody. If they want to do that, they should put, one day they put the Angelus, the other day they put something rock and roll, the other day they put this. My. All that just because, the reason behind that. God bless you, Brother Wilmo. Can we give us God the hand of clap, please? Happy to see you. It's a miracle. Amen. 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 It's really a miracle. Amen. We thank the Lord for that. Lord. Amen. So I'm saying the main objective behind that is not the Angelus, is not the crucifix. It's you and me. Yes. Amen. The real people they are behind, it's you and me. Because remember, Jezebel and Ahab, they started by removing, closing the churches, removing the symbolism, doing this. But at the end of the day, the prophets of God had to go in hiding. Amen. That was the final goal. The final point was to get, you know, because if they remove the whatever they say, the statutes, they remove the songs. But as long as you are still there, holding, behold, you know, holding, raising the name of the Lord, you are the problem. Yes. Amen. You are the problem. As long as Haman was there seeing Mordecai, even if Mordecai didn't say anything, just the very presence of Mordecai was an offense to Haman. So just your very presence, just your faith to this Bible is what they are after. Amen. So no matter what's happening, you will see that the people, the person they are after is me and you. One day they will come and say, no, 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 it's too much. These people, because remember, Christianity especially, we have Christianity has done so bad to the devil. When I'm speaking about, when I'm mentioning the devil, it's those spirits that they are celebrating these days.
Yes.
Amen. For centuries in this Europe, because Europe has been called the stronghold of Christianity.
Yes.
You know that? Yes. Europe, of course it was Catholicism, it was there, but it was still the name of Jesus. Europe was the stronghold of Christianity. They were, you know, holding to the principles of the Bible.
Yes.
This homosexuality was banned and was punished by, you know, stoning and hanging. Oh, now these people, they say, it's now our turn to take revenge.
Yeah.
Because they've been stoned, they've been killed, they've been hanged, they've been shot. Now they say, okay, it was in the name of Christianity that these things were done. Now, it's now time that, because I will show you as we go, this thing started very slowly and smartly.
Yes.
It didn't start today.
Yes.
Amen. They trace it back to something that was a blessing. The reformation of Martin Luther. It was a blessing. And it brought, the reformation brought, you know, religious tolerance. And the devil said, okay, since they've opened up this gap, which is a blessing, which was in the plan of God to bring the revival, to bring light, the devil took it. Said, religious tolerance, okay, it's time for me now. Why only Catholicism? We have to accept the Protestants, which was good. Then they came and said, oh, why only Protestants? We should accept also the Muslims. It's, you know, religious tolerance. And then why not only the Muslim and we should accept these and those? Why only religion? Science also is a source of inspiration. Then science came. And with science came all those atheism ideas. And in the name of religious tolerance, all these things came in. We'll see it. All those different movements, you know, abolition of slavery, which was a good thing. But the devil went in and said, why only black people? Women also, they need some liberty. They need some freedom. Then the civil rights movement came. Women, I don't know, evolution, women liberation. After those, because this gay movement, if you follow them up, they took their root from the abolition of slavery. They say, why the black people, the slaves, they were free, you know, emancipated and so forth, and why not us? They, you know, they draw the legitimacy from something that was good, from religious tolerance, from civil rights movements, from this, and they started not using it for their own sake, for their own agendas, up to what we have come today. Amen. So we really need to be careful as we go. We are living in the days of Elijah.
Amen.
We are living in the days of Jezebel. But remember to have your lamp trimmed. Oil in the lamp. Amen. There's a journalist, a well-known journalist, Kira Kelly. Sorry for calling her name. She said once in a program I was listening to that it's stupid to mention the name of God in the swearing of the president of Ireland. Yeah. I said, it's stupid. Why should they call God? Why don't they... You know, it's just appalling. But this is the narrative now that is accepted. Anything contrary to this, you'll be hunted. So let's just see what happened. We're just going to introduce, as I said. In the last 10 to 15 years, there have been a few referendums in Ireland. If we just follow you know, the trend, you will see where we are going. They are bringing it slowly, small, little bit by bit. And they say, the saying of the frog and the saucepan, you know, heat it up, small, people won't realize. Little, heat it up, you know. The 28th April 2015 went forth the first move. It was the children's rights referendum. I don't know if you remember, where as the people of this country, we voted. I praise God because I was not an Irish citizen yet. You Irish citizen, you were there, Brother Tony. Yeah. The majority of Irish citizens, they voted for the 31st Amendment, which was the children's rights, in which the state has now the power over our children. They can decide for what they think is best interest of the children. We voted and we adopted that. It was the 31st Amendment. On the 29th of August, the same year, 2015, the 34th Amendment, same-sex marriage. Amen. It started very something a little bit innocent, you know, children, right? You know, the children, the welfare of children. And same year, few months later, same-sex marriage. There was a big debate going on there. It's gonna pass. It won't pass. Even themselves, the people here, they were not sure that the Irish population, the Irish people, will vote for this law, knowing the religious background of this country, how people hold so much to those values. They were, after the referendum, when they published the results, I saw some of those people, I don't want to mention them, they were crying. They say, we didn't believe that Ireland could vote yes to this. Because it was out of, you know, people wouldn't believe that Ireland would vote such a law. Ireland was such a religious Christian, even we can call it Christian or Catholic country, that we couldn't believe, people couldn't believe that this law could pass. But they accepted it. 18 September 2018, 36th Amendment, abortion. Abortion was legalized in this country. Amen. Abortion was legalized, which was a red line that people everywhere in Europe, abortion was legal, except here. And people were swearing that abortion will never be tolerated in this country. But it was passed in a law. And before that, in 1983, there was an 8th Amendment which enforced abortion. It was in 1983 when this country was still holding to the principles of the Bible. They enshrined it in the law that abortion will never be tolerated in this country. But just a few years later, they came and said, no, Ireland has evolved. They came and abolished the 8th Amendment, which was protecting life of the unborn child, the accepted abortion. We are going to close. The 27th of November 2018, 37th Amendment, removing the offense of blasphemy in the Constitution of Ireland. You know, there was a law in this country, you know, prosecuting, you know, declaring blasphemy as an offense, as a crime. There was a debate going on. Why should blasphemy? Why? And they put it into a referendum. They say, no. You can, you know, speak about blasphemy against God as you like. It's not an offense. Because previous to that, what the law was saying, in Ireland, publication or utterance of blasphemous matter defamatory of any religion was a criminal offense. But today, they've removed that. You can speak against God. You can speak against, even in the hate speech that they are preparing to publish, the law, offense against religion is not a hate crime. It's not a hate crime. But speaking about our friends, it's a hate crime. Amen. Yeah. Speaking against God, saying bad things against any religion, you can start and cartoons, whatever you want, against God, against, that's fine. But saying a word against our friends, it's hate crime. The last one, I think, was the 11th of June 2019. They removed in the Irish Constitution the requirement of a period of separation before proceeding for divorce. So they made divorce much easier. So every step now we are going, all the foundations that hold this nation, that hold the name of God, that hold the values of the Bible, of the Christianity in this country, they're removing them one by one. One by one. And what is being brought to replace those, these are the altars of Baal. Just laws that go against the Bible. Those are accepted. Those are good. So we are going to stop here. As I said, it was just an introduction. Please forgive me because I know you would like to listen more next week, but I won't be here. So as I said, there's still some few things being prepared. There's this referendum they are preparing very soon about removing that, because in the Irish Constitution, there is a special mention about the place of the woman in the family, in the house. It's a big offense to feminist movements now. Why should they? Because the way disposition was formulated in the Constitution, it was actually, if you go into the spirit of the people that wrote the Constitution, it was to honor the woman for raising the children, for being the mother, for being the backbone of the family. But they want to remove that reference in the Constitution. Why should they say woman? They should replace it by carer. It's not only the woman who should raise children in the family. It's the man also. So they should remove it in the Constitution. Instead of women, they should say the role of the carer in the family. Make it gender neutral. Amen. There's another they are preparing, that one about removing the reference to the name of God in the swearing of the president of Ireland. So there's few more referendums coming. But you'll see as we go, they'll get more and more. Those people are still there trying to find what else do we need to remove. Remember the aim behind all that. It's you and me. Amen. We were not there when those our friends were condemned, judged, and killed because of their homosexuality. We didn't do it. But our forefathers, Christian believers, in the name of the principles of the Bible, yes, they did it. And they want to make us to pay for that. And they will. But remember, we are living in the days of Elijah. The Almighty God at Mount Carmel, He came and proved who was God and who was not God. Amen. Amen. So, as believers, as Christians, just hold strong. Amen. Amen. Just hold on your ground. The Lord, the God of Elijah, will vindicate who is true and who is not true. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this good opportunity to bring to our remembrance these things that we have heard, O Lord, but sometimes it go unnoticed because of the busyness of life, because of our human nature, O Lord. But help us to stay awake and to notice these things, not to take them just as another event, not to take them just like another headlines in the news, oh Lord, but the scriptures is being fulfilled, oh Lord, and help us to make our life straight, help us to fix our lives, oh Lord, to have our lamps filled and trimmed, because the day is at hand, oh Lord. Bless us as we commit the rest of this service into your hands, in the name of our precious and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.